of you believe the Lord is here today? How many of you believe that He is in the midst with us? Well, thank you for those 10 hands. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is walking in these aisles right now? He told us He would, and I know this, He's not a liar. He said He would be here. He said that His anointing would destroy the yoke. He said that He would lift our burdens. It was good to sing that. But how many of you know we got to believe that? How many of you know we've got to cast that thing upon Him? And sometimes, we'll get kind of greedy, so to speak. We'll want to hold on to our troubles. We think that the fear or the sadness, we try to hold on to something, maybe because we think we'll get sympathy or whatever. Folks, I'm here to just tell you, put it on the Lord. Put it on Him. I'm here to tell you, He absolutely, listen, there's several, I don't even know all the situations, but I just sense here today, there's several, trials, there's burdens that people, are going through, and the devil will come to you right now, and he'll knock on your mind, and he'll say, this is never going away. Things are never going to be different. This thing cannot change. You're just going to be burdened with this. Get ready. You're going to be, just plagued with this forever. I'm here to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is the same healer that He's always been. He's been the same, way maker. He is the burden lifter that He's always been. And He's in this place. But I tell you what, we have an opportunity. Make sure that we place that burden on Him. And I'm here to tell you, even if you're in the long-suffering, part of faith, how many of you know there's a patient side of faith? The Bible tells us over there, Hebrews 6:12. Why are we on this? This isn't my message here today. I wonder if I'll get to preach my message here today. I hope I never have any of my messages. We want the Lord's messages. But you understand, I'm just referring to what, I thought we would be doing here. Can you bring that up for us? Can you bring up Hebrews 6:12? We need to understand a little bit about this. Sometimes, we just think, God has great and precious promises for us. They should just happen instantly. We want them now. We want them on our timetable. But we got to remember the scripture. It tells us this over and over. It says that you be not slothful. Oh, did I say 6:12? Yeah, this is the right one. Be not slothful, but followers or imitators of others who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. So now the term patience is the Bible's way of telling us that there is a time frame. That is the Bible's way of telling us that not everything happens as quickly as we would prefer. That's the Bible's way of telling us that you're going to deal with thoughts. That the enemy and maybe even other people in this life are going to tell you, well, this is just a new normal for you. This is going to be forever. You're going to be burdened with this. Well, no, you are just in the patience side of faith. Being in the patience side of faith is just as valuable to God as being in the manifestation side of faith. So many times we think just because we're in the patience side that that has no value. We think the only value is when our need recovers or when it manifests in this life. But if you are in true godly patience, where you have cast that burden upon Him, if you are trusting in the Lord, I'm here to tell you that is just as valuable to the Lord as it is the manifestation of it. Praise the Lord. Why are we on this? Can you bring up 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Boy, all of a sudden, we love it when the Holy Ghost hijacks our service here. Because I tell you what, we need, especially in these days, to know and to understand that, trials come. There's a lot of hardship. I'll just say it real plainly. Folks, it is not easy to be a Christian right now. It is not easy to be faithful. It is not easy. When I mean that, it's not easy on the flesh. We know our spirit is willing. There's the nature of God on the inside of us wants to follow God and wants to put Him first, but our flesh and our mind will wrestle against us. And we know there are more attacks on the mind right now, more attacks on the flesh right now across this world than at any other time in recent history. 100%. There is more voices entering the world through social media, through all this stuff. there are more distractions and temptations, more seducing spirits trying to pull people off their path. The scripture says as voices in the world increase, they become even more significant. Meaning, we know this, that the scripture warns us that in the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. How many of you remember that scripture? You know, can you bring that up? You know, bring up 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1, we've got to know and understand this, you know, that you're living in some very biblical days. These days are as prophesied as the days of when Jesus walked upon this earth. And we're going to talk about this as the Holy Spirit leads us. It says, now the Holy Ghost speaks urgently that in the latter times, everyone say right now, that's where you are, some shall depart from the faith, meaning that they were once faithful, sold out believers. What does that mean? It means that it's not easy to be a believer in the latter times. The latter times started when Jesus Christ rose again. When Jesus rose from the dead, we entered what God calls the latter times. And the latter times are about 2,000 years old right now. It says that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow. Well, let's focus on that first part. Seducing spirits. Folks, whether we want to believe it or not, there is a spiritual realm. You know, and yes, God is in that spiritual realm. You know, the Lord and angels and the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know there's also a demonic realm? There's a satanic realm. And the scripture is letting us know that in the last days, believers will be more tempted to be pulled away from the faith because demonic activity is going to increase. Folks, you are living in the times of the most demonic activity that this earth has ever seen. And it has only been amplified through social media, through the internet, through devices. Now we can take those voices and we can multiply them through the earth so much. And with more voices comes more people who are already seduced by seducing spirits. Meaning the more people that, you know, we hear their thoughts, their opinions, you know, all their, you know, stuff that they post on social media, it's more possible, or we could say it this way, it is more likely that believers are going to run into seducing spirits more now than ever before. Absolutely. And so you're living in the times when there is probably the most spiritual resistance against Christians more now than ever before. Have you wondered why so many believers are struggling to stay interested in God? Why so many Christians are struggling to have a prayer life? Why so many Christians are struggling to have a normal church attendance? Why so many Christians are struggling in their marriages or with their, you know, keeping their temper in check or staying under self-control? I'm here to tell you because the scripture prophesied that in the last days, there would be an increase of seducing spirits. Let me show you another verse. Is it okay? You saw the text message. You saw where we were going to go. Can you bring up Revelation 12:12? Here's what we need to see. Well, here we go. Is it going to be a long service? Is it going to be a short service? Nobody knows, but everyone says I'm putting my money on long. No. Look at this. This is just a scripture that was quickened to me a moment ago. This is yet in the future. This is a prophecy about the future. But notice it does teach us a very important concept. It says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Whoa, wait a second. Woe to inhabitants of the earth. Wait, where do I? Oh, I'm inhabiting the earth right now. So that doesn't seem like a great news. But the term woe, it means warning. Be warned. Be warned. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, notice this last part, because he knows that he has a short time. Folks, how many of you know our Heavenly Father is eternal? He has all time. He invented time. Time cannot hold him. His time will never run out. But how many of you know that Satan is not eternal, so to speak, in the sense that, you know, he's on the clock. His time is going to run out. The scripture says that in the last days, Satan is in an absolute panic because he sees his time is running out. Folks, I've got news for you. The devil can read. The devil can read. And Satan has read the end of the book. And Satan knows that he is already defeated. He is already a loser. He knows that his time, when he is cast into the lake of fire, he knows that that time is upon him. And so now the scripture teaches us that he increases his activity. Or this scripture says he goes out with great wrath into the earth. Where is Satan right now, everybody? He's in the earth. Jesus said over there in John 14, 30, he called the devil the prince of the earth. Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, that Satan is the god of this world, right? Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 2, he's the prince. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. And so we have to understand we right now are on earth. We are behind enemy lines, so to speak. You are living on this planet in a time where Satan's activity is ramping up. Yes. He is increasing his activity. He is releasing seducing spirits to distract and to dismay and to burden believers. Yes. Folks, are you here today? Yes. Why are we on this? I wanted to preach on love. I got excited. I thought to myself, wow, I can actually be nice once in the pulpit. You know, but this is what the Holy Ghost would have us to do. We got to sing and we got to praise, and the anointing of God came in and said, here, this is where this service is going to go. But we're living on the earth in a time where we need to understand the spiritual activity is actually even more intense now than it was when Jesus Christ himself was on the earth. We see that concept in this scripture, that he increases, Satan will increase his activity because his time is getting shorter and shorter. Yes. Satan is panicked right now. And I'll tell you what he's panicked about. He is panicked about Christians who would stand up, get faithful, get sold out to God. And because Satan's activity is increasing, he's trying to stir everybody up to get mad at each other. He's trying to make every Christian, accusatory, blaming others, accusing others, walking out of love. And we may still end up talking about some of the things that we were going to preach on, but we need to understand, folks, these are not the days for the church to be carnal. Right, come on. Because in the most spiritual active time on earth, the church is drifting more and more away from spiritual principles. All of a sudden, you know, churches like ours that are not ashamed to preach whatever it takes out of this Bible, all of a sudden we're the strange ones. Yeah. No. What's strange is not preaching the word. Amen. What is strange is not telling people about salvation. What is strange is not having a salvation call at the end of your church service. What is strange is not to be doing outreaches where salvation is the priority. Are you here today? But folks, you need to ask yourself this question. If this is the most spiritual active time in this earth's history, what are you going to do about it? You've got to be aware that everything is going to pull on you, all right? Everything is going to try to distract you or to seduce you, you know, out of the path that God has for you. Oh, let's talk about that a little bit. Yes. Folks, you know, like I said a few moments ago, a lot has happened in these last couple weeks, you know, and it just so happened that my family, we were traveling, and all of a sudden, we find ourselves, there's another war in the Middle East. Surprise, surprise, right? Doesn't shock anybody. But we see, you know, of course, the situation with Israel and Iran. We are now seeing, of course, the United States of America is involved, and we've bombed, you know, certain nuclear sites over there. And over the last, you know, a few days, I've gotten some messages, people, you know, texting me, emailing me, you know, wondering, you know, what's going to happen? You know, are we on the brink of World War III? Is this the end of the world type of stuff? Well, let me just reiterate what I've been sharing with this congregation for months and years. Let me say this again, and we'll make it very plain. There is a shaking coming to this earth. It is a spiritual shaking, and it has already started with the church across the entire world, but especially the church here in America. The church in America is being sifted or shaken right now. The purpose of that shaking is to discover who and what is real and authentic for God. That which is real is going to stand. That which is fake is not going to stand. It is to discover who is spiritually asleep versus who is spiritually awake, or those who are asleep or those who are willing to be awake in these last days. Folks, do you want to be spiritually awake in these last days? I want to be. Amen. I want to be spiritually aware. I'm here to tell you what's going on in this world is that there's a spiritual shaking and God is pruning his vineyard. God is pruning his vineyard. He is weeding his garden. He is absolutely separating the wheat from the tares. Do you remember when Jesus talked about the separation of the wheat and the tares? What is a tare? We know what wheat is, but we aren't sure what a tare is. A tare is something that looks like the real thing. A tare looks very similar to wheat, all right? You know, when you look upon a wheat field, it all just looks like wheat, and you wouldn't be able to spot a tare from the distance. But what a tare is, it's actually a destructive weed that destroys that harvest, right? Even though it looks like the real thing, but nobody can eat it, right? It's not fruitful. And so what the Lord is saying, he's saying that in the last days, it'll be hard to spot the real from the false. And the shaking will come to this earth to find out who is real and who is not. God is calling his glorious church out. He is calling his glorious church to come out and be real and to stand up and be a part of the word of God, to follow the Spirit of God. Are you here today? Boy, this was not... I say every day, Lord, I want to speak as the oracles of God. I want to minister according to the ability that you've placed in me. And we're seeing this shaking, or you could say, you know, the Lord is going to distinguish the real from the fake. And that shaking is also going to show up in the systems of this world. It's going to become visible in governments. It's going to become real in politics. It's going to become real in financial systems. It's going to become very real in social structures. All right? We need to understand that what you're seeing going on in the world right now is the alignment of nations to get ready to fulfill what is written in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. You can read that. If you read Iran's involvement in the last days, you know, scenario, it's very clear. But folks, here's what we need more than anything. In these last days, yes, it's good to understand the signs of the times. But what Christians need right now more than anything is, one, they need to stay and dwell in the love of God. In the love of God. And two, we need to be spiritually aware of the days that we're living in so we can use our God-given authority. Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't know your authority in the name of Jesus Christ, these days could get very difficult for you. And there's going to be many tests and trials, and your pastor isn't able to, you know, chase it all away. You know, even your spouse or even, you know, some faithful brother or sister in the Lord isn't able to, you know, chase it away for you. Folks, we're going to need to know who we are in Christ. So when Satan knocks on your door, you know how to say, in Jesus' name, that doesn't belong here. In Jesus' name, I cast down that thought, or I cast down that imagination. No, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to be afraid of that. No, in Jesus' name, all of our needs are met according to his riches and glory. No, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to accept those accusational thoughts against my spouse. Amen. Amen. No, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to leave my place where God has planted me. No, I'm not going to betray my brothers and sisters. No, I'm not going to. You understand? Folks, you're going to need to know and understand. We right now, the church does not need a political lesson on Iran versus Israel. Did everybody just hear that? We do not need to just get engrossed into what's going to happen, you know, with these nations. The church's instructions are to walk in love. Amen. Do you know that? Well, let's go a little bit of different direction. Go with me to John chapter 13. Go with me to John chapter 13 in your Bibles. Folks, what we need more than anything, we need to walk in the love of God. Folks, we need to, secondly, we need to know and understand the spiritual climate that we're living in, because right now is not an easy time to be a believer. There's going to be every excuse in the world not to, you know, be completely obedient to the Lord. There's going to be every excuse in the world not to be part of a local church. There's going to be every excuse in the world, you know, not to be a tither, a giver. There's going to be every excuse in the world not to serve. There's going to be every excuse in the world not to meditate in the Word of God. There's going to be every excuse not to pray. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the body of Christ is way behind in prayer. Well, why is it so quiet in here today? God loves you. Praise the Lord. We're just going to receive the message that he has for us today. But here's the instructions of the church, even in these very last days. Go to John chapter 13. I'm flying by wire right now. These are not any verses I had planned to go to, but we are going to go over here. John chapter 13. Go over to verse 33. Praise God. Actually, go to verse 34. That just gets right to it. Go to John 13, 34. Here is Jesus giving the commandment, the instruction to the church. The church is not supposed to be a political organism. The church is not supposed to be, you know, just obsessed in, you know, what's happening with the nations. Jesus actually many times had to rebuke his disciples for getting too political. Boy, why are we on this now? And now this is the instructions to the church. Jesus says this, a new commandment. Everyone say commandment. Amen. Well, we sounded excited about that. A new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another. This is absolutely the instruction of the head of the church to his body. He says that you also love one another. Look at verse 35. By this, everyone say, by this. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the world is not looking for a church that knows how to explain all the news headlines. The world is looking for a church that is walking in the love of Jesus Christ, that is walking in the love of God, in the love for God. He says, by this love shall everyone know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so I'm here to tell you, folks, all this spiritual activity that I've been talking about, seducing spirits and Satan, you know, vamping up his activity in the end days, everything he's trying to do is to distract us away from this instruction. And the number one way that he will try to distract from walking in the love of God is to get believers like you and me offended. Oh, offense is just burning like a wildfire in our society. Remember what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24? Remember over there, he gave us five instructions about these days. Remember, he said, number one, don't be deceived. Right? He said, you better make yourself deception proof. See, How many disciples do we have here today? All right. A disciple is a student of the Word of God. Paul wrote it to Timothy. He said this, study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. See, what Satan is trying to do is to make the church ashamed because they don't know what the word says. You know, when the devil knocks on the brain of a believer and convinces them to be afraid and they don't know how to resist it scripturally, right? That's a shame, so to speak. That's a shame. It shouldn't be that way. You know, when he could get a Christian worried about money, how many of you know he's there to test your knowledge of the word? Are you here today? And so everything he's doing is trying to get us away from the church's instruction of walking in love. Amen. Walking in love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How is he going to get you out of love? Get you offended? Get you mad at all these things? Boy, I'll tell you what. When Satan increases his activity against the church, he always, always, always starts with offense. If you're offended at another believer, if you're offended at another church, I don't know what it is about these days since COVID, but all of a sudden I have seen more Christians on social media, you know, I've seen it personally, firsthand, where all of a sudden Christians feel empowered to accuse and expose. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Accuse and expose. Yeah. For whatever reason, every once in a while, this church or myself will get some letter or get some email from somebody that we've never met, someone that has never walked through those doors. Someone that has never even placed a phone call with me or anybody with the church, you know, going all, you know, accusatory, you're this, you're that, trying to expose some false doctrine. I tell you what, if you are sitting down and writing letters or messages to other Christians trying to expose something you disagree with, I am telling you, you are seduced. You are absolutely seduced if you are harboring accusatory thoughts against another Christian. Folks, who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan is. He wants you to expose and to accuse because that's exactly against, that's opposite of what the scripture says. Hey, can you bring up 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8? Boy, we're just all over the map here today. Can I just confess something to you right now? My natural self just wants to get to my notes. The teacher in me is so uncomfortable right now. Now, I'm comfortable with the word. The scriptures that the Lord will give me, I'm very comfortable with that. I'm just saying, just let me stay in my... I need a safe space. you say, Pastor, are you saying that facetiously? Yes, 1,000 times yes. Why does Satan want to take us and turn us into accusatory, blaming Christians? The Bible says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. For love, what does love do? The word charity in the King James, you know it's the word love. Love will what? Expose a multitude of sins? Accuse a multitude of sins, cover a multitude of sins. Folks, are you going to find faults in your other Christian brothers and sisters? Yes. The Bible doesn't say to go and expose them. It says to cover, forgive them, pray for them. Now, folks, if somebody, you know, please know that this does not take away Christian accountability. If there was a brother or a sister that was close in your life and they were sinning against God and on a path of destruction, it would be completely okay to go and meet with them and say, brother, I love you. I'm concerned that the direction you're going could hurt you. Folks, how many of you know that's a wonderful thing to do? My life was changed because there was men in my life who came to me and said, I'm concerned about the direction you were going. When I was a young man, there were several wonderful Christian brothers who approached me and was like, man, you know, you got a call of God on your life. I'm concerned you're doing this, you're doing that. And they did that out of love and concern. But if you're sitting down trying to expose some Christian ministry on Facebook, I'm telling you, you are absolutely doing the deeds of the devil. If you're sitting down penning letters to other churches or to ministers, telling them how wrong they are, I'm here to tell you, you are under the influence of a seducing spirit. We know that this spiritual activity in these last days is trying to pull people out of the faith, and Satan is going to attack the love of God in the church and try to make us very accusatory or exposing. Be very careful about how many YouTube videos. There are a whole lot of people on YouTube. Now, we post our videos on YouTube. Praise God, there's good on there too. But be careful. If you're sitting there watching, you know, YouTube Shorts and these other channels, and their ministry is to expose some TV preacher, I can tell you what, they might even be correct about some of it, but the spirit is wrong. It's not what they're doing, it's what's motivating them to do it. Listen, there's some TV preachers, and I don't mention names, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't wish some of their doctrine on a dog. You know, and I try to just warn this church about doctrines. But when you start going after people, I'm telling you, when you start to feel that people are your problem, you're seduced. Because the Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, if you got to sit down and pen some letter to some Christian about how rotten you think they are and all this, I'll tell you what, that's the accuser of the brethren. I have never, I would never, I could not imagine sitting at my desk and deciding that I saw some preacher, I'm going to write him a stern letter about how, you know, deceived he is or something. I'll tell you what, that is exactly the activity that is trying to come against the church. So we know that Satan is getting his way. He's destroying the love of God in the church when he gets Christians offended and he starts to make Christians go on an accusatory process. The accuser of the brethren. What do you do? Even when you see another Christian with a fault or they're doing something that isn't right, folks, I'm here to tell you, you're going to see a lot of that. Well, here's what the scripture says. Love them, pray for them, walk in love. Listen, I had somebody in this town years ago, come to me, and they said, the Lord has given me the ministry to correct all the churches in this area. I said, that's interesting. I said, I didn't know God was handing out ministries of suspicion and accusation. I literally said that to him. I said, God didn't give you any ministry to do that. And I warned that brother. I said, you know what? If you keep doing that, if you try to exalt yourself over what God has put in place in the local churches, I'm here to tell you, you are sticking your finger into a light socket. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And I'll tell you what, you are not going to be blessed. You know what? That man died a few years later at a young age. You say, well, what are you saying, Pastor? Did God kill him? No. The wages of sin is death. And I'll tell you what, God hates sowing discord among brethren, right? And so we know this, the spiritual activity is going to come through offense. It's going to come through a temptation to be accusatory, to be blaming others. Folks, is there anyone in here that you have everything figured out? Is there anyone in here? It reminds me of a song that I remember. You know, well, when I was a kid, it's an old song, and maybe you've heard of it before. Remember that song? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Does anyone remember that? Yeah, we could just get something going here, right? Well, you know, we probably won't be singing that song in church anytime soon. But is there anybody here that would just admit you need the mercy of God? You know, is there anybody, you know, that you just know that you need God's help every single day? You know that without Jesus Christ, you're a complete loser. Do you know what a loser I am without Jesus? Do you know what a complete failure into nothing I am. Have you had that revelation about yourself? You know, if you haven't, you might want to get that revelation. I'll tell you what, none of us have gotten everything figured out. I'll tell you what our brothers and sisters need, they need the love of God. Amen. They need the love of God. Now go with me to Romans 5:5. The assignment of the church is to walk in love. It is going to be very, very, it's going to take great effort in these last days because Satan is increasing his activity against the love of the church, the love of God in the church. Jesus said, number one, don't be deceived. Two, he said, don't be troubled. Don't be overtaken with fear and worries in these last days, right? He said, three, don't get offended. Four, don't betray one another. And five, don't let the love of God grow cold. Folks, how many of you have heard me repeat those five things? How many times over the last year or so? Over and over and over. Number one, don't be deceived. Two, don't be troubled. Three, don't be offended. Four, don't betray one another. See, that's the love of God, right? Five, don't let the love for God grow cold. We live in a very impersonal and very vicious and a very impersonal world right now. With all these devices, computers, cell phones, we're mostly interacting with screens. Many of us have very little interaction with people anymore. I'll tell you what, those devices have already ruined my ability to spell. I don't know how to spell anything anymore because it does everything for me, right? But I mean, we live in such an impersonal world and people are feeling empowered to criticize and to insult because they feel like they're just doing that through that device. It's making a very impersonal exchange. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's trying to draw the love of God down, trying to make a very cold and vicious society. Don't fall into it. Look at Romans 5:5. Well, we're all over the place. You're just going to have to pick out, you know. It's kind of a smorgasbord sermon here today. Pick out your favorite parts and take it home, right? Amen. It says this, hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. Folks, and here's, you know, one of the points I was going to make. Love, the love of God is not about our behavior as much as it is about our nature. Amen. God's love is your nature more than it is your behavior. Folks, I'm here to tell you, behavior is important, but behavior should come from your true nature. Amen. Folks, when you get born again, do we have anybody in here that you've ever made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? How many of you are born again? Yeah, that's a good showing right there. All right, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are what the Bible calls born of the Spirit. Yes. Remember in John chapter 3, Jesus said we are born of the Spirit. Well, at that moment when you became born again, you received the nature of God. Folks, salvation is not about just the ability to go to heaven. Salvation just happens to include going to heaven, and it sure does beat the alternative, right? We get to go to heaven. And folks, how many of you know we need to get as many people to go to heaven with us as possible, right? Amen. But God did not give you Jesus Christ only so you could go to heaven. God gave Jesus Christ to humanity to change our nature. Yes. Amen. To change our nature. Folks, are you here? Are you getting a hold of this? See, hold on. We're going to tie this all together. You know, he sent Jesus to this earth so that we could have a new nature. Mankind, without Jesus Christ, is a liar, a thief, a murderer, and depraved. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father, the devil. The Bible says when somebody does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are under the headship of Satan himself. Absolutely. And then when a person gets born again, when they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, at that moment they get born of the Spirit, and God sheds in their heart the love of God, because that is his nature. Amen. It's not, the love of God is not just you being nice to everybody. The love of God is about walking in the new nature so you don't go back to the old nature. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, if you're born again, the love of God is on the inside of you right now. That means you have the ability to be patient in all circumstances if you need to. You have the ability to walk in complete joy if you need to. Are you here? And this is what the Holy Ghost, said to me yesterday about this topic of the love of God being our new nature. God, spoke this to me. The Holy Ghost gave this. I really believe it. He said, I want my people to believe that my nature is in them. Because a lot of Christians are wondering, they think love is a feeling. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God is not interested in feelings. Woo, boy, that's going to make everybody happy. God does not want you to try to feel him. Yeah. Folks, have you ever had a day where the last thing it felt like you could feel was God? Yeah. Does that mean God left you just because you couldn't feel him? No. God is not someone, and there are times when his presence is tangible, but God does not want you to try to just live on feeling for him. He wants you to believe him. Yeah. Amen. He wants you to believe him. He doesn't want you to just be dependent upon feelings, because what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? Absolutely. The love of God is, the nature of God is in us. And, I hear a lot of Christians all over the place. You'd be like, well, I can just feel God's, I can feel his love. And, I can just feel it, and there's some new word now everyone's saying, I can feel God's vibes. I'm here to tell you, God ain't giving you vibes. Say, Pastor, why you got to ruin the fun? Because I'm here to tell you, if the love of God is real in your life, that love in your spirit, that nature of God is going to motivate you to obey God, to serve God. Amen. Can you bring up that verse, John 15:10? What happens when the love of God gets a hold of you and that new nature in your heart? It's going to make you want to obey him. Can we bring that up? I know we never went to 1 Peter. That's okay. We could bring that back up here in a minute. Jesus speaking, Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, if you obey my word, you shall abide in my love.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I hear people all the time say, well, I love God and I just feel his love and I love him, and yet they don't obey him. Folks, I'm going to tell you something that might sound harsh. If you don't obey God, you do not love him. Oh boy. Now that doesn't mean, you stop loving God just because you had a fault or a failure, you didn't know something. But when Christians can say, oh, I love God. I know a lot of people, they're very tender-hearted about God, but they don't obey him. Hey, that's nice that you have a tender heart for God, but what are you willing to do to sacrifice to serve him? Can you bring up John 14:15? You're right there in the book of John. Let's just bring up what Jesus said in this verse, shall we? Boy, we're all over the place. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. You can be tenderhearted for God. You can say that love is a feeling. But we know this, that the 70s rock song already told us it was more than a feeling. Don't start singing it. With God, love is not a feeling. Love is your actions towards him. And when you get born again, the nature of God moves on the inside of you, and it should motivate you to serve him. It should motivate you to obey him. It should motivate you to please him. Amen. Are you here today? And it should motivate you to love your brothers and sisters. The love of God would never motivate you to expose another Christian, to attack another pastor. The love of God will never motivate you to be offended and ticked off. Yeah. Are you here today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Can you bring up 1 Corinthians 13:4? Well, we're just going all. Well, why don't we just preach every verse in the New Testament while we're here today? Now, of course, in the King James, you know the word charity is the word love. What does love do? These are the first things that love will do. It says love suffers long. Isn't that funny? Love suffers long, but we certainly don't love to suffer long. You know, think about it. Love suffers long. That means that when you got born again, you received the nature of God that you can cover the sins of others, that you can, you know, forgive them and be merciful. And now it says that you now have a supernatural ability to have what the Bible calls cheerful endurance. Folks, I'm here to tell you that it is completely possible to walk in the love of God, that you can cheerfully endure anything that people say to you, anything that people do to you, all the maliciousness and the insults and all of that. Love will suffer long. Folks, this is the Bible's way of saying life isn't fair. Hello? Life isn't fair. Wait a minute. If God was going to give me some supernatural ability, why didn't he just give me the ability to avoid anybody I didn't like? Why didn't he just give us the ability to avoid trials and troubles? No, God did not put within you an ability to avoid every situation. He gave you the supernatural ability through the love of God to endure it, to have extreme patience. Yes. This is the Bible's way of saying that there's a test of patience coming into your life. Life itself is a test of patience. This is the Bible's way of saying that life isn't fair. This is the Bible's way of telling you people are going to do dumb things to you. People are going to say things to hurt you. People aren't going to act the way you want them to. And you know what? A lot of times we are going to be wrong ourselves. But you have been given the nature of God to suffer long. Do you believe that God has suffered long with you? Do you think that the Lord ever has to put up with you? I sometimes apologize to him that he's got to put up with me. You know? Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord has to suffer long with us. Aren't you glad that he did? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on you because you said something stupid? Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on you because you had a bad day or mistreated somebody? Folks, aren't you glad that God didn't give up just because you went through a season of maybe indifference towards God or spiritual laziness? Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on you because you had a fight with your spouse? Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on you? Amen. Glory to God. He said, now I'm going to take that nature of mine. Man did not need just the ability to go to heaven. Man did not need just the ability to act nice. Mankind needed a new nature. Because our nature without Jesus Christ is sin, Satan, murder, stealing, and killing. That's absolutely right. And God gave us a new nature to live out of that. And that new nature will supernaturally, you know, motivate you to obey God. That love in your heart will be an alarm to let you know when you start drifting in your relationship with him. You know, that love of God will remind you on the inside that your spiritual life with him is starting to stall out. Yeah, I'm telling you, that love of God in my heart, it will not let me drift far from him. Before all of a sudden I start realizing something on the inside will say, no, 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 no. Don't go that way. Don't get too casual with that. Don't get too comfortable. you know, trying to, you know, just do things your way. That love is like an alarm that'll let you know that your spiritual life is stalling. Well, it's like in an aircraft, right? There's a stall indicator in an airplane. You ever maybe watch any of these airplane videos? We have a professional pilot here. I know a couple of professional pilots. And, you know, these aircraft, whether it's a little Cessna all the way up to a jet, there will be some kind of system on these aircraft that will warn the pilot if the aircraft starts to stall. And what that just simply means is that there's not enough airflow over the wings to produce lift. So either you need more power or more velocity or whatever it is they need. But on these little airplanes, you know, in these little Cessnas or whatever, it's kind of like that buzz or that humming or whatever. When maybe a pilot is climbing, you know, too fast and not enough speed or whatever it is, and all of a sudden that warning thing will come on and it'll go. Is that relatively close, Reverend Randy? A little off? Reverend Randy, what does it sound like for us? Who wants one more time? That's exactly right. It sounds like a little dying animal or something. And that's letting you know that a stall is about to happen. And when a plane stalls, bad things. You don't want to let that plane remain in a stall-like configuration. In the same way, folks, our lives are going to get hurt if we're stalled spiritually. And that love of God is talking to you on the inside, saying, hey, 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 hey. Don't get too far away from prayer. Don't get too far away from reading your Bible. Don't you get far away from going to church. Don't you stop tithing. Don't you stop serving. You know, don't you get, you know, offended and ticked off at what other Christians are doing. Yeah. Amen. So, in closing, what the Spirit of God, I believe, is emphasizing here today, folks, we are in an unprecedented time of spiritual activity. And let's be more specific, an unprecedented time of demonic activity. Yeah. Satan has increased his activity. It is so obvious. The battle for good and evil is playing out on the news every night. Our nation is in a struggle right now for its own conscience. Sure. This nation is trying to decide, are we going to be a Judeo-Christian nation? Or are we going to be a woke progressive nation? Are we going to be the standards of God? Or are we going to, you know, give in to all this woke progressive nonsense? It's an absolute battle. Now we see Israel versus Iran, just like the Bible predicted. You can read those chapters. Iran, just a few years ago, was called Persia. That's why you see Persia in the Bible over and over. What, about 70, 80 years ago? They just changed their name, but that's the scriptural reference. We see this battle between good and evil. It is playing out so clear. We see that demonic activity is on the rise. The scripture says that many believers will depart from the faith because it becomes very difficult in these last days to be faithful, meaning difficult in our flesh and our minds. But folks, we got to stand up. We got to, you know, arise to the occasion and be faithful. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is letting us know here today that Satan is trying to attack the love of God in the church. It's going to be so easy to look at all the happenings in the world and just get concerned about, you know, wars and rumors of wars. Remember what Jesus said? He said there will be wars and rumors of wars. He says, but see to it that your heart is not troubled with that. See to it that you remain in the original commandment and instruction to the church to love one another, because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. There is a harvest in this city and in this region waiting to see the love that we have for one another. There are souls that will only be won because they see and want and desire what we have, you know, as brothers and sisters, and with other churches too. Praise God. We got to make sure we're saying this universally. It's not just about family church, right? And so the Holy Ghost is letting us know you are in a time of spiritual activity, demonic attack. He is trying to get Christians offended. He's trying to get Christians angry. He's trying to put that accusatory nature on God's people to get them blaming and accusing everybody else. When the Bible says that we are supposed to cover a multitude of sins with our love, we're supposed to be patient with one another. Do not sit down and start writing out messages to go after and exposing people or ministries. Are you here? You know, because we know the time is short. And there is a harvest to be won, you know, right under our feet, right here in this county. Folks, please know and understand, you know, the days that you live in, you're going to need to walk strong in the Word of God. You're going to need to feed that love nature. Yes. You're going to need to meditate on some love verses. Hey, everybody ready for some homework? Here it is. We'll end the service right here. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And go to the Amplified if you really want to get a full plate, all right? We already gave you 1 Peter 4, 8, all right? And how about this? All of John chapter 15, all right? Here's another love portion of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4. All right, is about the love of God and walking in the love of God. We've got to feed that nature, grow it, and cultivate it, because everything in this society right now is trying to pull us away from it. And I'll tell you what, the church right now does not need a political lesson on what Iran is doing and what Israel is doing. The church right now in America needs to stick to the original assignment. Jesus said that you love one another. Amen. Amen. Don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't be offended. Don't betray one another. And don't let the love of God grow cold. Did you get something out of this here today? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. And right now, Lord, we are going to just decide. Whether we think we already do or not, we're going to believe that your love nature is in us. Father, we don't have to feel it. Lord, I'm not waiting for some vibe before I believe it. Your love nature lives on the inside. Your patience lives on the inside. Your kindness lives on the inside. And Lord, you said above all, having fervent love one for another, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Lord, we know that our brothers and sisters, we miss it at times. We know not everything's going to be done the way we want it, and we know many times we ourselves are wrong, meaning personally. Sometimes our opinions are right. Sometimes our opinions aren't right. But Lord, we see that there is a flurry of demonic activity trying to bring accusation against the people of God and Christians falling into this accusatory spirit. But Lord, we know that the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Why would we want to tear down another believer? What would drive us to send messages to people we don't even know, trying to expose and accuse them? That's demonic. Lord, you said in the last days that we should not be offended. Father, you told us not to betray one another. You said that the Spirit speaks urgently, that in the last days many will depart from the faith. Lord, we decide right now we're not departing the faith. Father, thank you for this message from the Holy Ghost here today. Thank you, Father, for delivering what we need when we need it. Father, we just consider every burden taken care of. Father, we just cast it upon you. Thank you, Lord. With all eyes closed and every head bowed before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ask yourself that question. It's not a family church idea. It's the Bible. Ask yourself this question, am I saved? Do you know beyond all shadow of a doubt that you're born again? Folks, I'm here to tell you, heaven and hell are real. Jesus came. He shed his blood so that we could take upon ourselves the nature and the love of God. The Bible says if you'll confess your faith in Christ, he will give you eternal life. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything. The only thing I would ask you to do is take 1 second and lift your hand. And with an uplifted hand, you're saying, Lord, here I am. I want Jesus as my Lord. As soon as I see it, after 1 second, I'll have you put it down. And then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to be born again. I need to know that heaven is my home. If that's you, could you just be bold for 1 second and lift your hand so we can pray for you? Anybody? I don't see any hands. I hope and trust that we're all walking with Jesus here. Father God, I don't see any hands, but if for some reason someone within the sound of my voice needs to make Jesus the Lord of their life, Father, I pray that you'd speak to them. Father, I pray that you would manifest yourself to them. Father, show them that you are the true living God and that you gave your Son to carry the burden of their sin. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You get some help here today? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Father God, we just praise you today. We glorify you today. Father, thank you. We're going to walk in love. Father, we're not going to fall to this spiritual activity that's going on in this world. Father, we refuse to be offended. But Father, we know that love covers a multitude of sins. And Father God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout in.